Gerardo is very capable, as you already saw, to express himself in English fully, but he is asked for his own comfort that I be next to him translating whatever he needs. And my job is also to kind of ask questions and to also give you permission to ask a few questions. So the obvious question, I think, is, so what's happening in Latin America, particularly around worship?
I prefer to use my own language. I think you can understand. I feel more comfortable to develop my ideas. En América Latina hay una corriente de renovación dentro de las iglesias protestantes.
There's a strong current of renewal in the within Protestant churches in Latin America.
Las iglesias protestantes durante muchos años fueron iglesias muy muy cerradas y muy estructuradas.
For many years, Protestant churches in Latin America were very closed and tightly structured.
Las iglesias protestantes originalmente son iglesias de inmigración.
Originally, these Protestant churches are immigrant churches, composed of immigrant people.
Principalmente de Europa del Norte.
Mostly from Northern Europe.
Holanda, Alemania, Suecia, Suiza,
Germany,
Dinamarca.
Switzerland, Dinamarca.
Fueron iglesias que se concentraron mucho en mantener las tradiciones propias de su cultura.
And they focused, concentrated on keeping alive the traditions of their own culture.
Quizá igual que en Norteamérica hace unos años atrás.
Perhaps very similar to what happened here in the United States two or three years ago.
En mi casa orábamos en holandés.
For example, in my own home, we prayed in Dutch.
Onze Vader die in de hemel zijt, uw naam wordt geheiligd, koninkrijk wil komen. U wilt geschieden gelijk in de hemel dat zo gebeurt. In holandés se oraba en mi casa, y yo lo recuerdo todavía.
So he remembers how prayer was in Dutch, in this case, the Lord's Prayer.
Pero también en las iglesias se conservó mucho de la propia cultura como una manera de mantener la identidad.
Also in the churches, not just in the home, a lot of the culture was kept in order to maintain an identity.
Yes. Una identidad cultural.
A cultural identity.
Que también determinó la evolución espiritual de la iglesia.
Which in turn then determines the spiritual growth and evolution of the church.
Un primer cambio, una primera evolución fue la llegada de misioneros de Norteamérica.
One thing that started changing things was when missionaries from North America arrived.
En toda América Latina, yo puedo hablar del caso particular de nuestra denominación.
This happened in all of Latin America, but of course I cannot speak of the experience of my own denomination.
Fueron misioneros de la Christian Reformed Church.
Our case of missionaries from Christian Reformed Church.
Que impulsaron la tarea misionera de la iglesia y la integración con el elemento nacional.
And these missionaries pushed for the integration of the life of the church with the life of the country.
Trata.
They tried to do that.
No siempre con éxito.
And not always with success.
Y como no hubo éxito, se retiraron.
And when there was no success, they left.
Luego de los años 80, influidos por lo que sucedió en la dictadura militar,
after the 80s, under the influence of what happened during the military dictatorship,
las iglesias empezaron a involucrarse mucho más con los movimientos sociales.
Churches started becoming more involved with social movements.
Y en ese diálogo con la sociedad, con la gente, con el pueblo, surgió una nueva manera de entender la espiritualidad.
And from this dialogue with people, a new way of understanding spirituality emerged.
Una espiritualidad que comenzó a entenderse cada vez más como servicio hacia el prójimo.
Spirituality that became more and more defined as service towards the neighbor.
Buscando ver a Jesús en la persona del otro.
Seeking to see Jesus in the person of the other.
Y eso significó una apertura necesaria de todo lo que tenía que ver con el culto.
And that demanded in turn an opening of everything that had to do with worship.
El culto ya no podía ser solamente algo donde se usara el lenguaje para iniciados.
The worship service could not only use language only for those who were initiated.
Por lo que empezamos cambiando, por ejemplo, nuestra versión bíblica. No usamos más la tradicional versión Reina Valera en español, por ejemplo.
For example, we changed the version of the scripture that we use. We no longer use the traditional version in Spanish, which is Reina Valera 1960.
Que tiene un lenguaje solamente comprensible para quien ha crecido en la tradición religiosa.
Whose language is only understood by those who have grown in the religious tradition.
Entonces, comenzamos a usar una versión mucho más popular de la Biblia y también un lenguaje mucho más accesible en nuestra celebración.
So we started to use the version of scripture that was more accessible to people, and also the language that we use in our celebrations, the liturgical celebrations, was more accessible.
Tratamos de que los diferentes momentos litúrgicos también tuvieran un sentido diferente, donde se involucrara más el cuerpo, los gestos, los símbolos.
And we tried for the liturgical moments to have different connotations and ways of being. They became places where gestures and movement and things that happened in the body were found more of a home.
Y finalmente hay un gran movimiento a partir de los años finales de los 70, principios de los 80, de nueva creación de música litúrgica.
And lastly, there's this a movement end of the 70s and into the 80s for the creation of new music for the liturgy.
Como la música de Pablo Sosa, que quizá ustedes conocen porque ha venido aquí antes, ¿no?
Like the music of Pablo Sosa, whom you may know since he's been here at the symposium.
Pero no solo Pablo, también hay otras personas que crearon música y la están compartiendo a nivel de Latinoamérica para renovar el repertorio musical.
And of course, it's not only Pablo who's been doing this, but many others have been creating music and sharing it all through Latin America to renew the liturgical
aunque sobre todo la producción musical viene del cono sur de Argentina y Brasil sobre todo.
But the bulk of this production comes from South America, the southern parts of America, particularly Brazil and Argentina.
Eso en cuanto a lo litúrgico. Las iglesias también adquirieron una nueva visión de su necesidad de comprometerse políticamente.
That which I have spoken deals with the liturgical life of the churches, but next to that, there was also an understanding and a new commitment of the churches of being involved in the political life of the country.
La dictadura militar significó un golpe muy fuerte para iglesias que eran muy cerradas y que de pronto se vieron invadidas por historias de personas que eran desaparecidas, que eran torturadas, que eran encarceladas.
The military dictatorship was a very strong shock for the church, which all of a sudden was inundated by stories of people who were called the desaparecidos, those who went missing, people who had been tortured, people who had been killed.
Y esto no solo pasó en Argentina, es algo que sucedió en la mayoría de los países en América Latina. Las dictaduras no discriminaron fronteras, fueron procesos similares en diferentes países.
And this is not just an Argentinian phenomenon, but it happened all through Latin America, where dictatorships of the same kind happened with similar stories.
En Argentina, esto significó que las iglesias se unieran ecuménicamente y crearan, por ejemplo, el Movimiento Ecuménico por los Derechos Humanos.
In Argentina, this motivated the unity amongst the churches and creating ecumenical movements, such as the Ecumenical Movement for Human Rights.
De ese movimiento surgió, por ejemplo, el llamado a miembros de la iglesia a caminar junto con las madres en Plaza de Mayo todos los jueves.
For example, one of the results of that particular movement was a call to all members of the church, of the churches that participated in this group, to walk with the mothers of Plaza de Mayo, with these women who were protesting the disappearance of their children.
Todo esto generó también una fuerte discusión en las iglesias en América Latina sobre si las iglesias debían o no involucrarse políticamente.
And of course, this also provoked this inside the churches, as to the question, should the church be involved in political matters?
La discusión de 10 años.
It took 10 years of this discussion of that.
Pero finalmente esa discusión derivó en una apertura cada vez mayor de la iglesia, una iglesia que hoy sigue identificándose principalmente por el servicio.
But the result of this discussion was a great opening of the church and the birth of the church that identifies itself more and more with service.
Así que así estamos en este momento.
So that's where we are at this moment.
Una iglesia que, siendo pequeña, trata de servir al prójimo.
A church that, while being small, tries to help other neighbors.
Y en ese diálogo con el otro y con la otra, renovar constantemente nuestra espiritualidad.
And through that dialogue with the other, to constantly renew our spirituality.
Quizás yo me detendría acá, aquí. ¿Hay alguna pregunta hasta este momento?
Perhaps it's a good moment for me to pause and ask if there are any questions for you.
I had some questions about when you're talking when you're saying about the changes in the church and how missionaries from North America came and they left without influencing some of your traditions, your practices, but then social reforms really took part in changes in your church. What do you think? I understand because it's service to each other in your community. That's why political reforms were taking more of a stand in the church. But I just wondered why there wasn't any major influences from missionaries.
Pregunta difícil. La mayoría de los misioneros no compartió esta visión de apertura política de la iglesia.
That's a difficult question. Instead of beginning and then followed by saying, the majority of the missionaries did not share this opening of the church to the political realities.
La mayoría de los misioneros pensaron que la iglesia tenía que seguir siendo una iglesia que predicara la salvación en Jesucristo a toda persona que quisiera acercarse a la iglesia.
The majority of missionaries understood that the church needs to continue to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who would approach the church.
Solamente algunos misioneros entendieron el proceso y acompañaron el proceso y se quedaron viviendo en Argentina por muchos años.
Only a few of the missionaries understood the process and decided to stay and actually stay living in Argentina for many years.
Quizá uno conocido por ustedes es Sidney Rowe.
One of them that some of you may have heard about is Sidney Rowe.
Que él mismo dice que se convirtió al Evangelio de Jesucristo en Argentina.
It's a missionary who says that he actually was converted to the gospel while in Argentina.
En este proceso, justamente en este proceso de apertura a las necesidades de las personas.
And it was precisely about this process of opening to the needs of people.
Pero la mayoría de los misioneros no lo comprendió, la iglesia cristiana reformada en Estados Unidos tampoco, y sus misioneros se retiraron.
But the majority of the missionaries did not understand that, and the Christian Reformed Church as a whole, as an institution, retired its missionaries.
Y su apoyo económico.
And,
así que quedaron grandes edificios. Pero no más misioneros. Y nosotros todavía no teníamos suficientes pastores propios como para desarrollar esa obra que ellos habían iniciado. Entonces en muchos lugares esa obra directamente cayó.
And at that time, we did not have enough trained clergy to take care of the work that had been appreciated. So when the majority of missionaries left, a lot of the work that they have done,
No sé si es una respuesta.
No, no, that helps that answer your question.
The ecumenical cooperation that grew up in the face of political problems, has that retained its heart and its liveliness today, when the political situation has shifted a little bit?
Sí, sí, el movimiento ecuménico es un movimiento muy fuerte en Argentina todavía hoy.
Yes, it's still a very strong movement in Argentina today.
En Argentina hay varias instituciones ecuménicas funcionando en este momento.
There are several ecumenical institutions that are working there.
Nuestro seminario donde se entrenan los pastores de Argentina es un seminario ecuménico.
For example, the seminary where clergy are trained is ecumenical.
9 denominaciones.
It's 9 denominations.
Sí.
But by ecumenical you mean interdenomination, or does it involve the Catholic Church also?
No.
So okay. It does not involve Catholics.
No.
Are there
Protestant churches?
Are there ecumenical projects that are Protestant Catholic?
Sí, hay algunos proyectos donde participan los católicos también, por ejemplo, el movimiento ecuménico por los derechos humanos.
Is there some, like, for example, the one I mentioned, the ecumenical movement for human rights?
Sí. Después hay algunos proyectos misioneros sostenidos también por un conjunto de iglesias.
There's also missionary projects that are supported by a number of churches.
Y proyectos de servicio diacónicos.
And also service projects that are diaconic that are also supported by the conglomerate churches.
Pero creo que eso es posible porque en el caso de Argentina, en el caso de muchos países en América Latina, las iglesias protestantes son iglesias pequeñas.
And I think that's possible because in the case of Argentina and most of Latin America, the Protestant churches are small churches.
Entonces,
quizá debería implicar la diferencia de protestante y evangélico.
La diferencia entre protestante y evangélico. Las iglesias, sí, para nuestra comprensión, las iglesias protestantes son las iglesias que han surgido de la inmigración europea principalmente.
I asked them to make a distinction between evangelical and Protestant churches, and those terms sometimes are used. And he says that in the Argentinian context, the Protestant churches are in the Latin American context, the Protestant churches are those who have grown out of the European immigration.
Historic churches.
Historic churches. And in other parts, like in the Caribbean and the Spanish Caribbean, we use the word Protestant to refer to all evangelicals. So if you're a Methodist, you're Protestant, you're Pentecostal, you're also Protestant. But in the context of Argentina, it's not like that. It's like if you're Protestant, that means you're mainly, we call it mainline.
So an evangelical would be what in the Argentinian? An independent church?
Independent church, some Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, yes.
Okay.
Y uno de los grandes desafíos que tenemos ahora en toda América Latina es justamente el crecimiento de las iglesias pentecostales.
And a challenge that we're facing in Latin America is the role of Pentecostalism.
Que yo no conozco la realidad norteamericana, si es similar o no, pero en América Latina las iglesias pentecostales han llevado el porcentaje de población evangélica del 3% al 10% en muy pocos años.
I don't know what's the reality in the United States, but in Latin America, the Pentecostal churches have moved the percentage of evangelicals in Latin America from a 3% of the population to a 10% of the population in a very brief period of time.
Hay que comprender que América Latina, a diferencia de Europa y de Norteamérica, es un continente mayoritariamente católico.
You need to understand that Latin America, as opposed to Europe or the United States, is a predominantly Catholic area.
Sí, y cuando decimos mayoritariamente, decimos 90%.
And when we're speaking, the majority was speaking about 90%.
Y, digamos, eso también ha sido una cruz para las iglesias protestantes, en el sentido de que es muy difícil entrar con un mensaje diferente en un mundo mayoritariamente católico.
And that reality has also been the struggle across for the Protestant churches who are on the task of entering with a different kind of message into a predominantly Catholic environment.
Un amigo pastor en Norteamérica me contó una vez que abrió una iglesia nueva en una ciudad nueva. Y yo le preguntaba, bueno, ¿cómo hizo para que la gente viniera? Y dijo, pues simplemente abrimos la iglesia y la gente vino.
A friend of mine who opened a church in North America told me a story of how he opened this church. And my question to him was, well, how did you get people to come? And I said, no, we just opened the church and people came.
Porque en Norte América hay un elemento protestante mucho mayor, casi predominante, ¿no?
Because in North America there is a larger Protestant presence that can be seen as predominant.
Entonces si hay una nueva urbanización, un nuevo barrio que se construye, seguramente así hay protestantes.
So if there's a new neighborhood that is being built, for sure there will be some Protestants there.
Ese no es el caso en la mayoría de los países de América Latina.
That is not the case in most of the Latin America.
Cuando uno abre una iglesia en un lugar nuevo, hay que considerar que probablemente no hace ningún evangélico, ningún protestante en ese lugar.
When you open a church in a new neighborhood, you have to consider the possibility that there will be no Protestant or evangelicals. I'm glad you said most Latin America, because the situation in some Central American countries is changing dramatically, particularly Guatemala, where the percentage of evangelicals is not quite reaching the same level as Catholics, but it's way larger than it is in the South and other countries. So, I mean, there was a time where to think that there would be an evangelical president country wasn't unheard of. But that has happened already in cases of Guatemala, for instance.
And so who are the Protestants in Argentina? Certain ethnic groups? Do they live in a particular place? Are they educated? Who are these Protestants?
Who are these Protestants? Very small groups. Very small. Son grupos pequeños y localizados en la zona donde principalmente se instalaron los inmigrantes.
Small groups and they're located in the zones, in the places, in the areas where immigrants located themselves.
La mayoría de las iglesias protestantes están en el este de Argentina y desde el centro hacia el sur.
The majority of the Protestant churches in Argentina are in the east part of the country and going from the center to the south.
Son iglesias generalmente pequeñas.
Small churches here.
Las iglesias reformadas en Argentina tienen la cantidad de miembros que tienen a nivel nacional son 2.500 a 3.000 miembros.
The total amount of membership for the Reformed Church in Argentina is from 2,500 to 3,000.
Que acá capaz que es una sola congregación.
Which here will be one congregation.
Ahora estamos en un proceso de unidad con la Iglesia Evangélica de Río de la Plata, que es una iglesia origen alemán.
Right now we are in the process of conversations of unity with the Evangelical Congregation of Río de la Plata, which is a German of German origin.
Que es la iglesia protestante más grande en el Cono Sur.
Which is the largest of the Protestant churches in southern South America.
Que tiene 50,000 miembros.
And has 50,000 members.
Así que son muy pequeñas, realmente son muy pequeñas. Las iglesias envían sus pastores a este seminario que mencionaba recién. Algunas iglesias tienen sus propias escuelas donde educan a sus niños. Y la mayoría de las iglesias.
The churches have sent their pastors teaching at the seminary that I've been reference to, and some of the churches have schools that are attached to the church.
Y la mayoría de las congregaciones locales tiene una o más obras de servicio.
And the majority of the congregations have one or more places of social work, of service.
Comedores populares, lugares,
feeding programs,
lugares donde brindar educación adicional a los niños que en la escuela no les va bien.
After school programs,
porque hay mucha desnutrición infantil que dificulta el aprendizaje y necesita atención adicional.
The by nutrition is for learning, and then these after school programs help with the additional.
Programas con niños de la calle.
Programs with children that live in the streets.
Programas con gente que vive en la calle.
Programs with people who are homeless.
Por ejemplo, duchas, lugares donde se duchan, donde se cambian, donde se
bañan. So providing a shower, place where they can shower and change.
Y lo que no ha sido una discusión grande en los últimos 10 años es si esos lugares deben ser lugares donde también se busca que las personas se conviertan a la propia denominación.
And the discussion in recent years is, should these places where this service is happening be also places where we seek to proselytize people to enter into the denomination?
Y la conclusión a la que hemos llegado la mayoría de las iglesias que tenemos este tipo de trabajo es que son lugares donde uno tiene que reflejar el amor de Jesucristo.
And the conclusion that most of the churches that have this sort of work can reach is that these are places where we need to show the love of Christ.
Sí. La muestra de ese amor a Jesucristo genera una adhesión, esa bienvenida, y si no, que vayan con la bendición de Dios.
And if this display of Christ's love causes the person to want to join the place where this love comes from, that's fine. But if it doesn't, they can also go with our blessing. Now, I have a question. You said something very provocative earlier, and you said that one of the challenges in San Pius was the growth of Pentecostalism. Why is that a challenge?
Es un desafío porque en América Latina las iglesias pentecostales supieron retomar muchos elementos de la religiosidad popular e involucrarlas en sus servicios.
It's a challenge because in Latin America, many of the Pentecostal movements were able to incorporate elements of the popular traditional religious culture and incorporate it into their own worship life.
Lo cual le hizo la comunicación para las personas mucho más sencilla.
Which made communication with people then simpler.
Porque las iglesias protestantes en sus comienzos no trabajaron la inculturación, mantuvieron su propia identidad.
Because the Protestant churches in their beginnings did not work through inculturation, but rather kept their own identities.
Entonces, este crecimiento de las iglesias pentecostales nos está replanteando constantemente la necesidad de actualizar nuestra forma de celebrar nuestra fe.
So this growth of Pentecostal churches is constantly challenging us to re-examine the way that we express our faith.
Y también nos desafía a una tarea educativa de nuestra propia membresía que muchas veces emigra hacia estas iglesias.
And it also challenges us into a learning a pedagogical task with our own congregations, many of whom migrate.
Porque las iglesias pentecostales ofrecen respuestas inmediatas, ¿no?
The Pentecostal churches offer immediate answers.
Sí, una suerte de Mac Church.
It's a little bit like a Mac Church.
Mac Church, donde uno puede entrar, tomar lo que quiera y salir.
Come in, take what you want.
Y mucha gente busca ese tipo de respuestas.
And for many people, this is a very attractive answer.
Entonces, se requiere una tarea educativa de la propia comunidad para evitar incluso la migración de personas.
So we need a pedagogical effort, a teaching effort, within our community, because of this migration.
Sobre todo para las personas nuevas.
Above all, to new members of the church.
Incluso muchas iglesias protestantes están tratando de imitar el modelo pentecostal para evitar su decrecimiento.
As a matter of fact, there are many Protestant churches that are imitating the Pentecostal model in order to avoid, to stop their own decline.
Tratando de imitar el estilo de celebración y de alabanza.
You're right, in the worship style and the celebration and praise style.
Sin reflexión teológica.
¿Perdón?
Sin reflexión teológica.
Without theological reflection.
Solo imitar el modelo para tratar de no decrecer, para crecer.
It's only an imitation of the model in order to avoid declining and starting to grow.
Y lo que nosotros tratamos de hacer en las iglesias donde el Señor nos permite trabajar es analizar el modelo pentecostal desde lo teológico.
What we try to do in the churches where I have been privileged to serve is to analyze the Pentecostal model from a theological stance.
Y digo las iglesias donde el Señor nos permite servir porque, digamos, yo no solo estoy aquí como pastor reformado, sino como miembro de la red creante que trabaja en toda América Latina.
And I say the churches where I'm privileged to serve because I'm here not just as a local pastor, but also as the organizer of CREATE, which is a net of Latin American churches.
De recursos litúrgicos y de capacitación.
Resources and training, liturgy.
Entonces, en cada lugar donde Dios nos da la oportunidad de ir a servir, tratamos de formar a las iglesias desde un compromiso con la palabra y no solo desde el deseo de crecer imitando otro modelo exitoso.
So in every place that we are privileged to teach and to serve, we attempt to help people to understand the importance of following the model that comes from the Word of God, faithfulness to the Word of God, and not just an imitation of a Pentecostal model in order to achieve growth.
Could you give an example or two of how Pentecostal churches have enculturated themselves in a way that is so attractive? What is the cultural connection that they're making?
Quizá. No, yo usé la palabra inculturación, usé la palabra uso de símbolos de la tradición.
Inculturación.
Ellos retoman cierta simbología muy vinculada a la religiosidad popular.
They take certain symbols that are very linked to the popular religious culture.
Por la religiosidad popular, yo creo que en muchos países de América Latina, pero en Argentina está vinculada a los símbolos, a cosas que se pueden ver y que se pueden tocar.
The popular religiosity in Latin America, particularly in Argentina, is linked to things that you can touch.
Sí.
As you can see.
Y la iglesia que nosotros denominamos post-pentecostal, que más está creciendo, es una iglesia que tiene su origen en Brasil, que se llama la Iglesia Universal del Reino de Dios.
And the church that has the most explosive growth right now in Latin America is something that we call a post-Pentecostal church. And it's called the universal church, or some Iglesia del Reino de Dios.
Claro, Iglesia del Reino de Dios.
No,
Iglesia Universal del Reino de Dios.
The universal church of the Kingdom of God. Padre de Sufrir.
Padre de Sufrir, sí.
And that's their logo, Stop Suffering.
Stop Suffering.
Stop Suffering.
Y ellos incorporan, por ejemplo, el aceite traído de los olivos de Israel.
And they incorporate things like this, like using oil that comes from the olives in Israel.
El camino de la sal.
The path of salt. We should say more about it. I don't know what that is.
Ellos tiran sal en el piso.
They put salt in the floor.
Y caminan descalzos sobre la sal.
And then you walk on the salt barefoot.
Como una suerte de camino de purificación.
Which is like a purifying walk.
Han inventado ahora una celebración que todo el pueblo de Dios se reúne bajo el manto sagrado.
They've now created a celebration where the people of God gather under the sacred canopy.
Todos pueden tocar ese manto sagrado.
And everybody can touch the canopy.
ese tipo de cosas.
So it's that style.
Apelan mucho a las personas que han crecido en una religiosidad popular muy fuerte.
They call from they're attractive to people. They attract people to not live the thing of your religious culture.
Sounds like the emerging church. The same longings exist here.
Claro, aquí tiene ese nombre, ¿no? Emerging church.
No, so the emerging church is sort of a phenomenon. Pero es pero muy similar.
Sí, similar.
Yeah,
sí. Nosotros hemos tratado también, no por seguir el modelo pentecostal, pero sí de buscar formas en que nuestros propios cuerpos y simbología nos ayuden a reforzar nuestra espiritualidad.
We have tried also, not because of limitation of pentecostal models, but just with the intention of attempting to connect our bodies with our spirituality. We've tried to do certain things.
Porque la Biblia está llena de ejemplos donde las personas involucran su cuerpo en un proceso de crecimiento espiritual.
The Bible is in fact filled with examples of people engaging their bodies in order to achieve spiritual growth.
Entonces, por ejemplo, nuestras oraciones de intercesión no son simplemente oraciones con palabras.
For example, our prayers of intercession are not just done only with words.
Son muy variadas. Por ejemplo, pueden participar, pasar las personas al frente, hacer un círculo, abrazarse unas a otras.
They're very varied and different. Sometimes they ask people to come forward, sometimes they create a circle, sometimes they are embracing one another.
Muchas veces usamos el símbolo de la imposición de manos.
Sometimes we use the imposition of hands, to say in English. Is that the right imposition?
También estamos utilizando, tratando de incorporar cada vez más en nuestras liturgias elementos que son de la tradición bíblica y que las iglesias pentecostales también supieron utilizar muy bien, como hacer, ¿cómo se diría? Una señal con óleo que hemos usado en nuestras liturgias, ¿no? Una señal de la cruz con
la unción,
esa es la palabra. Utilizar esos elementos en el momento de bendición, al terminar una celebración, so, el lavado de nuestras manos, como hicimos en el culto de ayer.
We have also tried to incorporate actions that come from the biblical tradition, such as the anointing with oil to be used during the service or as part of the benediction. Or also, as we did yesterday in the bilingual service, the washing of each other's hands.
Y hay una diferencia con las iglesias pentecostales porque nosotros no vendemos el aceite.
Now the difference with the Pentecostal churches that we don't sell the oil. So something that you didn't say part of the example that I gave is that they also, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to at least bless handkerchiefs. So you could order by mail a handkerchief that was blessed, and then you would receive it, hopefully by prayerless press, and in case you really are urgent.
Y digo que esto tiene mucho que ver con la religiosidad popular, porque en un continente mayoritariamente católico, por ejemplo, el agua bendita para los católicos.
This has to do a lot with the popular religiosity, because in a predominantly Catholic environment, you have things such as, for example, holy water.
Las reliquias de los santos.
The relics of the saints.
Las imágenes de la Virgen o de los santos.
The images of the Virgin or the saints.
Entonces la Iglesia Pentecostal le ofrece sustituciones.
So the Pentecostal churches offer substitutes to these.
Que tienen un éxito grande con gente que ha crecido en esa religiosidad.
That have a very big success with the people in these religions.
And so when you've used the phrase a few times, religious popular culture, am I remembering that phrase correctly? When you refer to religious popular culture back in Argentina, are you referring to a kind of common person's relationship with the Catholic Church? What is the religious popular culture of Argentina?
Sí, es una religiosidad popular que creció de la mano de la Iglesia Católica, amparada por la Iglesia Católica.
Yes, this is the religious popular culture that grew under the wing of the Catholic Church.
Donde también hay algunos santos populares, pero que la Iglesia Católica permite.
And there are popular saints that are not official saints of the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church sort of allows them to be.
Where do you... Oh, so you haven't talked yet. Where do you go to the
last thing? Sí, sí,
la, la, la religiosidad popular tiene una historia. Primero la...
A popular religious culture has, of course, a history, and it starts with the religious history of the culture that was there before. Of the culture that was before the Spaniards came.
Cuando los españoles vinieron al continente, hicieron sobre nuestras pirámides.
When the Spaniards came to the American continent, they built their cathedrals and churches on top of what was already there.
Entonces llenaron los espacios sagrados con imágenes que no tenían que ver, o sustituyeron las imágenes que había.
And they substituted the images that were already in place for other images.
Y cuando llegó la conquista evangélica protestante, tanto de Europa como de Estados Unidos, quitaron todo eso y dejaron espacios blancos.
And when a second wave of conquering comes, that comes from Protestant Europe and Protestant North America, then they took all of the images out.
Y la espiritualidad de la gente está ahí buscando símbolos que puedan decirle algo más del amor de Dios, de la gracia de Dios, ¿no? Que solamente todos los que trabajaron aquí, a Dios se le cree nada más en el pensamiento.
Okay, everything again, un poco más. But the spirituality of the people is still there, and they're still searching for something that goes beyond thinking. And that shows God and the grace of God and the love of God in more tangible ways. What we were taught was that God only exists in really your head.
What, may I follow up on that? The indigenous people today, do they tend to fall into the Pentecostal churches or into the Protestant or into the Catholic, or do they continue to practice traditional religion because they're way out of the country?
It's muy diferente en cada país. Muy diferente cada país.
Okay.
Incluso en la experiencia de México es mucho más fuerte que la experiencia en Argentina, donde la cultura indígena directamente fue arrasada.
For example, the experience in Mexico is very different from what in Argentina, because in Argentina the indigenous population was annihilated.
Really? Wow.
Totalmente aniquilada, solamente quedan muy pocos pequeños grupos étnicos en el norte, muy pequeños.
There are small groups in the north.
Okay.
Ahora,
para
terminar la pregunta, en el caso de Argentina, los grupos indígenas se sienten mucho más identificados con la espiritualidad pentecostal.
In the case of Argentina, the indigenous population that remains, the small group that remains, are more identified with the Pentecostal religiosity.
I apologize for my ignorance of question. So it's all who is there? If the indigenous people were annihilated, is it mostly European immigrants then?
See,
what percentage? I knew there were many European immigrants there, but perhaps there are more than I understood.
Mayormente españoles e italianos.
Mostly it's Spanish, descendants of Spanish Italians.
Okay. And that would be so descendants of Europeans,
sí.
our percentage, nearly 100% of the population.
95%.
About 95.
Was there a large indigenous population throughout Argentina? I'm an art historian and I teach the cultures from northern Argentina and Peru. Was that also heavily populated in the southern?
Sí, había diferentes, por lo menos 12 tribus indígenas en Argentina cuando llegaron los españoles.
There were at least 12 tribes in Argentina when the Spaniards arrived.
Con la conquista del desierto en 1800 en adelante, hubo una opción de aniquilamiento, directamente aniquilamiento.
¿Qué significa la conquista del desierto?
Argentina estaba poblada solo hasta Buenos Aires.
¿Poblada por qué?
Por los españoles. En un momento decidieron conquistar todo lo que quedaba hacia el sur y aniquilaron. No quedó nada.
There was a period in the colonial history of Argentina when the Spaniards occupied only a portion of the country up to Buenos Aires. But then they decided to do this endeavor that is called the conquering of the desert. And they basically swept south and annihilated everything they found in their way.
Los Onas, los Tehuelches, los Mapuches.
These are some of the names of the tribes that were
not existing más.
Now, this also brings another reality. When people speak of Latin America, people tend to speak of as a very unified place. And, for example, the black African influence in Brazil, Colombia, Venezuela, all of the Caribbean, Panama, you name it, it's complete. It's another reality. So the mixtures are very, very different. And then there's obviously other immigrations. For example, there's something that a lot of people don't know is there's a very strong immigration from the east, from Korea, from China into places like Brazil, for example. So you have huge communities, and it's kind of a very interesting reality and how that plays out in the religious culture. It changes things around a bit.